Father, we thank you that we've gathered together in the mighty name of Jesus, the strong Son of God, the one who purchased us and bought us at the price of his own blood, the one who forgave our sin, cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and accepted us, O God. I am so thankful that we are the body of Christ, and you are the head of the church, and we submit to you and bow down to you this morning. And Lord God, as we stand here on this Sunday morning, knowing that all things have now changed in our nation, we do not look at our country, we look unto you, the author, the finisher of our faith. And we're so glad, Lord, that we can hold on and proclaim the glorious truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, we love you and praise you. I ask you somehow, as you always do, please enable me to teach what you have placed upon my heart. I pray that it doesn't fall upon deaf ears, O God, and that the Spirit of the living God is moving even in our midst right now, saving those who are lost, delivering those who need delivered, healing those that need to be healed, and opening all of our ears to hear the precious Word of God. Lord, we lift up those who have been ill, especially Anna this morning. Just touch her body, bring healing to it, Lord, please. We lift up the I Am Terrell Kids Service later this afternoon. Lord, you would touch many lives. And help me now. Touch your people. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to strengthen us this morning. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to start at verse 4, I believe. 1 John, there in the New Testament, chapter 5, verse 4. And I'll be there in about 15 or 20 minutes, okay? And that is literally the truth. Now, if you're visiting with us and so forth, or if you're checking out the Calvaries, you know that we teach line by line, verse by verse, book by book. But we're in the midst right now of a summer series. We finished off with the Gospel of Luke. We will be picking up the book of Acts later on in the summer, perhaps, whenever the Lord leads us. But right now, we're doing a topical study through God's Word, a summer series. And the purpose of this summer series is for the Church of the Living God to truly think about what it means to discern the time that we're living in. And not only to discern it, but that we will be able to find the difference between reality, that's what's real, and illusion, what is false. We want to be like the sons of Issachar, if you will, there in 1 Chronicles 12:32. It says that the sons of Issachar, they had an understanding of the times. Boy, we're living in some crazy times, aren't we? Yeah, and they had an understanding, David's men and his army there, they had an understanding of the times, but they also had something else. They knew what Israel was supposed to do in those troublesome times. And it's my prayer, this series is helping us as we've gone through, we've defined illusion, we talked about being prepared for persecution, the vitalness of the divine helper of the church, the Holy Spirit of God, and other things, that we truly are able to discern. Are we, the church, walking in illusion? Are we truly living the realities of the Christian life, living the true issues of the Christian life? Now, all of us woke up Friday morning, and most of us, of course, were not prepared, I'm sure, for the event that occurred. And as I have been teaching in this series about illusion and reality, that we looked at woke up and we found ourselves again in a brand new America. And as I have been saying in this series, the old America that we love and cherish and are going to miss is gone. And we can't hide our head in the sand. And what remained of the old America, it vanished away, I tell you, on Friday. It vanished away forever. And we're now living in a new time. We're living in the new America. Remember the phrase that I'm using in this series. A culture, a nation, a people, the church, that cannot distinguish between reality, what is real, illusion, what is false, they're not going to make it. Amen? They're just not going to make it at all. And you know what? Last Sunday, remember as I was closing out, I told you, and it was a negative, I know it was negative, but it was a truth. I said we could plant churches on every corner in America. We could put the gospel on every television station and every radio network in America. But it's not going to do any good. And I used these words. I said, God said to my heart, it's over. And boy, that was depressing for me. I'm sure it's depressing for you. And I said, there's only one thing left we can do. And that is God has now shut up his church to prayer. So we started praying corporately, meaning the Lord's Prayer, which is, it brings unity to the body of Christ as we pray. It's our Father. Amen? Amen. And then I also said, let's add the 23rd Psalm to that, or I felt that's what the Lord wanted. And then where we pray not only corporately, but then we pray the personal prayer. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's where we are right this minute. And as we've been praying, and as I told you, I said, I believe that the Supreme Court would pass the law. Well, we know that on Friday, there in the morning, on June 26th of this year, became what I consider the darkest day in the history of our nation, since its very foundation. And what's so sad is that 62% of America, 62% of Americans agree with the Supreme Court decision, what the justices passed into law, same-sex marriage, as they did on Friday. I believe that results of that is now going to not only redefine the American family, but it is now going to cause a partial death in the American family. On Friday, this was being announced, I tuned in live here in my office to the president giving his speech. And I asked all the staff to come into my office as well. I wanted to hear this. I said, this is a moment that don't ever forget this day, because today America has been totally redefined. Don't forget this moment. This is a spiritual moment and one of the saddest days in our history. And then as the president closed out, President Obama said, as he talked about the justices passing this law, he said, the ruling is a victory for America. And I said to myself, really? I said, the oldest foundation in the history of the world has just been redefined. And there are people say, no, marriage hasn't been redefined, Bill. What's really happened right now is this is a matter of marriage equality. No. This is not about marriage equality, because marriage is between one man and one woman, freely and totally committed and given to each other. Amen? Because that's the oldest law, if you will, given unto man. Now, it's a matter of marriage being redefined now in our America, in our society. The Bible tells us in Psalm 11:3, it says, if the foundations are destroyed, foundations plural, if they are destroyed, what can the righteous do? We are living in the extraordinary times. We're living in a nation that is literally soaking in illusion. A nation that has once again lost its moral compass, and a nation that is now, I believe, completely without any absolutes at all. Whenever a country, a nation, a person, a people, a government, when they exalt themselves above the living word of God, when they redefine the oldest foundation in the world, there's just not any foundation that is left. You remember months ago, if you watch the news in the evenings or whenever the news comes on, and remember, I forget what lake it was, but that house that was on the mountain out there, and all of a sudden it slid, started sliding into the river. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
I didn't own that house, did you? No, but it was like a $1 million home. And what happened? Its foundation kept eroding away, meaning the side of the mountain. And once the foundation is gone, what happens? You can only crash. Is that true? And that's exactly what's happening right now. Remember that a culture, a people, a nation, a church that cannot distinguish or will not distinguish between what is right and what is false is in desperate, desperate trouble. And they have opened the door, I think, that no man is going to be able to shut. I know that these series of summer, the summer series, I know that these have been serious messages, if you will, but they also have been sincere. And I cannot tell you, how God does things to bring a series that we have been going through And the times that we're living in is really, it's addressing everything that's happening, isn't it? So we know the Spirit of God is moving in that direction. And in the midst of all these negatives that we have been, or I've been mentioning, and in all these horrible illusions that this nation is resting in, I think this morning, even though this series is going to continue now here, I mean, I'm still in it, but I believe the Holy Spirit of God wants us to take a deep breath. I think it wants us to regain our footing, and I think He wants us to pause and remember who we really are in Christ Jesus. And that is our true reality, because we are the church of the living God. And yes, there's not a doubt that we're living in America, and a nation that we love, a nation that we've sacrificed for, many of us in uniform and so forth. And listen, we love our country. We pray for our nation. But the fact of the matter is, its foundations have crumbled. But what we need to remember and hold on to this morning is what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:19. He said this: nevertheless, everything is falling apart in this world, Timothy, but nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Amen? And that is what we need to know this morning, that the foundation of God, there is not one crack in it. You understand? No, I mean, not one at all. Listen, the solid foundation of God stands. And here's the thing. Jesus Christ is still the head of the church, and the Supreme Court can't do anything about it. Amen? That's right. So here's the deal. The Supreme Being, God, our Father, what He has founded on this foundation, the church, if you will, Jesus, the head of the church, we, His body, is indestructible. We're not going to fail, although we have failed in this generation. We failed to win people to Jesus Christ. We've adopted the American illusion, the culture, and we've neglected our prayer times. We've neglected serving. We've neglected soul winning. But that's all going to change now. Oh, it better. Because if it doesn't, there's going to be a major issue. Now, with all that being said, what did Jesus tell us? What did He tell Peter and all the rest and us as well? He said in Matthew 16:18, He says, I will build My church, Jesus said. It's His church. He purchased it with His own blood. I will build My church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Now, not only that, remember the writer in the book of Hebrews. Let me read it to you. Hebrews 1:8. When God is speaking here, not the Supreme Court, but God, the ruler of all. He says this. God says, your throne, O God, meaning God the Father is speaking to Jesus the Son. He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, meaning it's eternal. He says, a scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. Listen, don't ever kid yourself. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is King. Amen. And we need to always know that. God says, my Son is the eternal God. He sits on the eternal throne, who is the eternal King, and He rules with an eternal scepter. And that scepter is righteousness. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, and you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Listen to what God says about now the earth and the heavens and everything that's here. They will perish. And the writer of Hebrews goes on, yes, they will perish. And then he says, but you, meaning Jesus, you remain. You remain, Jesus. And they, the heavens and the earth, will all grow old like a garment. In other words, everything on this planet right this minute has been and is and will continue to deteriorate. Do you understand? Even the morals of the world will continue to deteriorate. And it's like the world is like some old worn out coat. The world is falling apart. And it goes on to say here, like a cloak, you, Jesus, you're going to fold them all up and they're going to be changed. Listen, one day when our Lord, who by Him all things consist or literally are held together, okay, one day when He releases His hold, everything that we know, everything that man knows, everything that man has fought for, all the laws that they've passed, all the rulings and all the lies and all the hell and all the junk, it's all going to collapse. And whenever this earth, the heavens and everything in it collapses and all the dust is flying around, and whenever the dust finally settles, let me tell you who's going to be standing. It will not be the Supreme Court of the United States. It's going to be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are going to be standing with Him forever and ever and ever. He's going to fold it up like it says, just like a cloak, loved one. He says, and they will be changed, meaning this world. But I love this. He says, but you, meaning Jesus, you are the same. Because Jesus never changes. Amen. He's the eternal God. America has changed. And America is going to continue to slide into darkness, without a doubt. But Jesus Christ has never changed, and He never will change, because Scripture teaches us in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. Now, loved one, listen to me. Here is the true reality. You know, the title of this message is, what is the title of this message? Is that we will overcome. We have overcome. Amen. That's the title of this. So here's the thing. This true reality, not into the illusion, the true reality for the believer is this. Please rejoice. You say, Bill, rejoice. You told us that in what you said to us last week was right. You said last Sunday that, oh God, you said if they pass this, there's going to be a hollowness in our heart and just an emptiness. Of course. We grieved over our nation. We grieved over sin. Amen? I'm telling you to rejoice because of this. You know, did God know this day was coming?
Yes.
Was heaven caught off guard?
No.
God knows everything. Okay? Now, another question. You know, think of it for a moment. We were born into this time, weren't we? I don't know about you, but see, that really excites me, because I'm thinking, oh Lord, here we are, the church. We see our beloved nation. We see what's happening. And you know what? This generation of believers, we were born for such a time as this. I believe the Lord is going to move in a totally different way. And I believe that with all of my heart. See, our nation has changed. Yes, it's lost its moral footing. It's lost its foundation. And we see from coast to coast. Oh, how it breaks our heart. From coast to coast, we see a nation, a people that are celebrating, but they're celebrating and rejoicing in illusion. A people that we are called to love and to win for Christ Jesus. Amen? Don't ever forget that. You know, Roberts, one of the chief justices, wrote this. He says, whether same-sex marriage is a good idea should be of no concern to us. However, listen to what he says. Under the Constitution, judges have power to say what the law is, not what it should be. And that is a very true word. You know, you make a law, man make a law unto himself, changing the divine law of God, redefining what marriage is. Amen? Oh, that's the nation that we're living in now. And like I said, America's in agreement with it. So, you know, our nation has changed, but God has never changed. Jesus will never change. And I love that. His love will never change, His nearness and His power. His plan, His purpose, no person can defeat. I'm so thankful for that. That is our true reality. The Supreme Court, you know, as powerful as they believe that they are, there are many things, of course, they can do in this land. But there is one thing they can never do, and they can never silence God. You understand? They can never do that. They can never silence or stop the power of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, and they certainly will never stop the people of God. The Supreme Court cannot legislate the Supreme Being, the Creator of all things. Amen? It's an impossibility. You know, the Bible teaches us this about the Creator of all things, our Father. In Psalm 86:9, it says, God has made all nations. All the nations. Think about that. The book of Acts says He set the boundaries too. It says in Job 12:23, talking about God, our Father, He makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and he guides them. Daniel 2:21, he removes kings and he raises up kings. We don't have to worry about overcoming. We have already overcome, loved one. I pray, are you at 1 John 5:4? Good, I gave you a lot of time to get there, and church is awful slow at times. For whatever is born of God, or whoever is born of God, look at the results. Whoever is a new creation in Christ, whoever is a co-heir of Christ, whoever has a Holy Spirit of God living in them, whoever cries out, Abba, Father, you know what I mean? Where our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are indeed the sons of God, the Spirit of Christ coming into our heart, changing us. Whoever is born again, born from above, born of God, look what that individual does. Overcomes the what? The world, period. Do you understand? You don't have to add anything to it. If you came to Christ last Sunday in this chapel and you've been a believer for only 7 days, the day that you asked Jesus to come into your heart, you just overcame the entire world. Amen? That's right. That's what happens. Listen, this is our reality. That's not some illusion. It's a past fact and it's a present reality. And listen, the battle has already been decided because Jesus paid for it on the cross. And we participate in his victory because we're in him. Remember there just hours away from the Lord's crucifixion there in the upper room with his disciples. And he's teaching them and loving them and telling them what's getting ready to happen. And he looks at them and he says in John 16:33, he says, these things I've spoken to you that in me, not because you're an American or you live in another nation, but because you have a living relationship with me. You may have peace. Peace in the storm. Peace is a person. You know, he says, now you're going to have tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be courageous, in other words. I've overcome the world. Listen, 1 John 4:17 says this, as he is, as Jesus is, so are we, his church, in the world today. Amen? That means as Jesus is right this minute, where is Jesus? He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's seated at the right hand of God. He's poured out his blood. He has purged our sins. We're sons and daughters of God. He rules from the throne of grace in heaven. We're his body upon earth. And we're in agreement with heaven. Amen. Listen, no, as he is right now, that is our position in this world. We are like that right this minute. We're in Christ Jesus. Look now, you're in 1 John. Look at chapter 4 with me, talking about other things we've overcome in this world. Look at 1 John 4:4. He says, the Apostle John says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now, in context, he's talking about those who deny that Jesus came in the flesh and so forth, that he's both God and man. He's talking about the spirit of error that's in the world right now and then in the world. He's talking about false teachers. He's talking about anyone that would deny the Lord. He says, you know what? You have overcome all of that. Why? Well, because he, the Holy Spirit, he who is in you right now is greater than he who is in this world. And who is he talking about? He's talking about that spirit of Antichrist. He's talking about the devil who's defeated. He's talking about the God of this age, little g, the devil himself. Listen, we have overcome all of that. Now watch verse 5. Look at the contrast. But they, then and now, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak. They have a language that of the world. They understand the world's language. And the world, people of the world, not the world, the globe, the earth, but the people. Hey, they hear that. Boy, they say, yeah, I'm in agreement. Well, what we need is marriage equality. Look, who needs that old archaic system was called the Bible? That can't be right. Man, we're a new generation. We're a new America. We know what's best for us. No, you don't, because you can't receive the things of God into your heart unless you're born again. Nor will you believe that. And we look here and I say to myself, oh my, why in the world? Why is the White House, maybe it's not today, But it was a few days ago. Well, just a couple, a matter of fact, a day or two ago. Why was it bathed, all lit up in the colors of the rainbow? The White House represents all America. Every man, woman, and child. That didn't represent me. Do you understand? Now listen, you say, Bill, are you bashing? I'm not bashing any sinner. I love people. I want to see everybody saved. But don't tell me what's right and wrong. If you're not going to agree with the Word of God, I know I'm going to be right. You understand? So, I mean, why do we see that? Why are we seeing people that are shouting all across our nation, love wins? They're holding up the sign, love wins. Or they were saying, love has won and we're not done. No, you're not done. You're right. You're going to persecute us to the max now. No doubt about it. But you know what? Here's the situation. The world's love won, not God's love. But they don't know that. You see why? Because they're of the world. They're of the world system. And they can, and what did they hear? The Supreme Court justices, what did they do? They spoke of the world and the world heard them. And the world rejoices in that. No. See, the world system that is here, that antichrist system, anti-God system, they say God's word is not wanted, needed, nor desired. We don't want anything to do with it. We want to leave God out of everything that we do in our life. We don't need you in our marriage. We don't need you at all. It says there in verse 4 again, in 1 John 5, it says, and whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. What world has the Christian on this dark weekend of this, in this country we call America that we love, what world have we literally overcome? Well, look there in John. You're right there. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. Do not love the world. Now, is John the apostle talking about rivers and trees and people? No, he's not talking about that at all. It's that world system that does not recognize God and doesn't want God and that will exalt themselves above God's word and above God's law. And say that they're wiser and smarter than God. Have more wisdom than God. He says, man, don't love that world or love the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen, we have overcome this world. We have overcome this world system that calls evil good and good evil. And don't you ever, ever, ever forget that. Amen? No. He says, and for all that is in the world, meaning everything that's in the world, everything that has its origin, if you will, in this wicked world system without God, where God is left out, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those are the three things that rule this nation and the world, by the way. It's not of the Father. It's of the world. And the world is passing away. And the reason it's passing away, it has no foundation. God is the ruler of all. It has no foundation. It's the world is passing away. Why? It is temporary. It's not permanent. It's going to go. And all the lust is going to go too. But he who does the will of God abides forever and ever and ever. And that's us. That is the church, the ones who love the Lord. Now, this week on Friday, many people have talked, called and emailed me and so forth, and they said, Bill, when I looked out there and I saw men across our nation kissing and women across our nation kissing, it angered me. Loved one, listen to me. That shouldn't anger you. They're lost. Do you understand? They're dead in trespasses and sins. Sin is sin. Lying is sin. Do you understand? Let's make sure that we say what sin is. Sin is sin no matter what it is. Okay? Now, we're called to change the world, to love the world, to love people in this world. We're called to love our enemies even. Listen, and I look at that and I say, you know what? My heart started breaking when they were rejoicing and when they started celebrating. And my heart started breaking for the nation. You say, well, why? Because they really think they won. Do you understand? No, they're sincere. They're sincerely wrong. They really think they have one, but actually they have now been overcome by the wicked one. Do you understand? It's just another step into hell, if you will. That's exactly what's happening. Love didn't win. The enemy won. And he transformed himself, as he always does, into an angel of light. You deserve this. This is what you want. This is what you need. Equality for all and so forth. You know, you don't care about God's word or his law. That's a bunch of trash anyway. He's called the father of all lies. That's his native language. You know what the devil does? He comes in and he loves to pervert the truth. He loves to pervert marriage, or he loves to pervert what love is or what sex is. Do you understand? That's what the devil does. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. And here's something that we need to get into our hearts again and again on this terrible weekend. We need to remember this, that this is our reality, not an illusion. We are the only people on the planet who has overcome the one of this world system, meaning the devil, the ruler of this world system. Look there at 1 John 2:14. It says, I've written to you fathers because you've known him who's from the beginning. I've written to you young men because you're strong, not going to be strong. You're strong right now. And the reason, well, the word of God abides or lives in you. And you have what? Overcome whom? The wicked one, the most wicked deity in all of the universe. We've overcome him because we're in Christ. Turn the page to chapter 5. Look down at verse 18, 1 John 5:18. And we know, it's a fact. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. In other words, that's not our lifestyle. Yes, we sin at times, and thank God we can run to Jesus and God our Father, to the throne of grace, and find mercy and help and obtain it in time of need and forgiveness. Amen? He says, that's not our lifestyle. Sometimes we blow it. But he who is born of God keeps himself. Literally, Jesus keeps us. Now look at that. That's who we are. And the wicked one does not touch us, doesn't lay hold upon us, can never claim us again. We know, there's our reality again. We know that we are of God. We're those new creations. And the whole world system lies in the sway of the wicked one. Now listen, let's forget the world just for a moment, meaning the whole world. And let's focus in on the nation that we love, this new America that's going to be ever changing from now on. You know, the fact of the matter is, when we look at that, how many people in America are under the sway of the wicked one? How many are under the sway of the wicked one? Number one, they don't know it. Number two, they wouldn't believe it anyway. Well, if you're lost, if you're not saved, you are living under the course of this world, it says in the book of Ephesians, Epistle of Ephesians. Now think about that. If you don't know Christ, the devil is literally ruling you, and you don't know it. And you certainly wouldn't believe it. But that's what's happening right now. Listen, Friday was not a day of victory. It was a horrible day of defeat for so many people. And you know, I remember back at the very beginning, and I'm not speaking against the president. I respect the office. But I also exalt the word of God over any office, okay? And I remember, if we go all the way back and we start looking at these things, you know, remember back, I think it was in 2012, when our president became the first president in the history of this nation, the history of our nation, to endorse same-sex marriage. Think about that for a moment. Think of the changes that have occurred under his administration. I mean, my gosh. I mean, remember the military under his administration? It ends, don't ask, don't tell. Remember that one? And then also the Pentagon. What did the Pentagon do under his administration? They made June Gay Pride Month for the military. Now it's celebrated. Think about that for a moment. That's what happened under his administration. When he took office, there were only two states that endorsed same-sex marriage. Just before the Supreme Court made their decision, there were 36 states that endorsed same-sex marriage. Now, you say, Bill, you're beating up the president. Well, I'm not beating up the president, but I'm beating up the entire administration. That all of them exalted themselves above the word of God. And then he walks out and says, you know, on Friday, June 26th, this ruling is a victory for America. And what was so tragic that day is that when he said that, America joined in with him. I mean, all of America. Listen to this. Who joined in? This is just a few. Facebook, YouTube, American Airlines. What did they do? You know, the little monitors in the seat there, you know, they all lit up and they all had the rainbow colors and so forth in every seat showing the rainbow. Here's the other corporations. Visa, JetBlue, Kellogg's. Is that Rice Krispies? Hello? Kellogg's, Levi's, Tide, the NASDAQ, Goldman Sachs, even Niagara Falls was lifted up with all those colors. Coke, Budweiser, KFC, finger licking good, okay? The Trade Center, Disney World, Google, Apple, even the Empire State Building, and even Snickers candy bar was lit up in the rainbow colors. Now, I read last night, we are being called the Rainbow Nation. Now, you know what you really want to know this morning is this. I know that the reality of what has occurred hasn't really set in the church. And the things that are going to happen because the justices passed this are going to be mind-blowing now as we see our country go deeper and deeper into sin. So here's the thing. You know, you really want to know what you want to know, Bill, listen. Is this going to bring maybe any judgment from God? Is that going to happen? Or because we live in the age of grace and so forth. I mean, is that going to happen? Or has America opened a door that is just, it's going to be, who knows what's going to happen? And if so, if judgment, say, is, what in the world, how are we the church? Because, you know, sin affects everybody. You know, just because the unrighteous sin, don't ever think it doesn't affect the church. It does, because of the nation that we're living in, okay? Sin affects all of us. Your sin affects me, and my sin affects you. Okay, it's the truth. Now, so what are we going to do? Well, 1 John 5:4 tells us. It says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory. Okay, that's what I want. Lord, I want a victory in these dark times, these terrible days that I'm just now, that we're living in. I want that victory. Well, here's the victory, or this is the victory that has overcome the world. Okay, what is it? It says, the answer is right there. Our what? Our faith. Now, let me ask you a question. Since we're believers, do all of us overcome? Yes, that is our unchangeable position because we are in Christ Jesus. We are all overcomers. However, that is our position, but maybe not all of us will overcome in practice because of one word, faith. And that is the key. You see, where there is no faith in your life, in your marriage, whatever you're doing in your life, if there's no faith, there's not going to be any victory. See, you have to believe that it's impossible to please God without faith. You have to believe that. And you have to believe that He is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek Him. You have to believe that with God all things are possible. You have to believe that the Word of God is true and it's living and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? We have to believe those things. Now, why does the believer's faith walk in victory and why does it conquer? Because we know and have the object of our faith, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Now, let's talk about faith for a moment in these difficult days. I want you to turn in your Bible, please, to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. Just, you know, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, okay, right there in the Old Testament toward the end of the 37, 39 books, right there toward the end. And I want you to look at something in chapter 1 of Habakkuk. Now, the great theme in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, the prophet, is faith. Three times in the epistles, Habakkuk is quoted. Romans he's quoted, in Galatians he's quoted, and in Hebrews he's quoted. The just shall live by faith. Say that with me. The just shall live by faith. Now, so that's what this book is about living by faith. Now look at chapter 1, burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. He says, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry?" In other words, what's wrong, God? You're not hearing me. You're not hearing me at all. Even cry out to you in violence, and you will not say, "Why do you show me this iniquity? Why do you let me see my nation falling apart? Why do you show me these things, the things that's happening?" And so forth. And so he's crying out. He's saying, "Oh God, this place is falling apart. That my nation is falling apart before my very eyes. The people are going the wrong direction. What in the world? Where are you? Why aren't you doing something?" Many of you may have said the same thing. "God, why did you let this happen? Why is this happening in our nation?" And maybe God should say to us, "Why aren't you winning the lost?" Because 99% of the church, they're not winning anybody even in their entire lifetime. Why aren't we praying? Why aren't we doing what we're called to do? What happened to the light of the world? What happened to the salt of the earth? Where are we? God should ask us that, because that's the truth. And if that doesn't seem to be the truth to you, you're living in an illusion, not the reality of the American church. The American church. He says, "God, don't you see the condition of Judah? Don't you see everything falling apart?" He's crying out. He's praying to the Lord. Look at verse 4. "Therefore, because of the condition of his nation," look what he says, "therefore the law, it's powerless, and justice never goes forth." Why? Oh, because the wicked, they surround us, Lord. They surround the righteous. And look what happens because of that. "Therefore," what? "Perverse judgments proceed." Did that just happen in our nation? Yes. So he says, "God, where are you? Why aren't you crying out? Why aren't you talking to me?" And God finally answers him. He says, "Oh, look, Habakkuk, look among the nations and watch." You mean you don't think I'm working? I'm not doing anything? "Be utterly astonished, for I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you." God says, "You know what, Habakkuk? You don't think I'm working? I'm working in the nations. And may I tell you that God is working in our nation. He's working in our lives. He's producing that good work in us, which is Christ's likeness." Amen. Where we go from glory to glory. Now, God says, "Oh, you don't think I'm working?" He says, "Habakkuk," he says, "listen to me. You think justice is dead?" "Oh, no, justice is not dead. I see the condition of that nation. Oh, justice is not dead. You think sin is going unchecked? You think everybody's getting away with everything else? You mean God could say the same thing here? You don't see what God could say. You don't think I see the rejoicing across this nation that was founded under God? You don't think that I don't see what's happening? All the rejoicing and the exalting themselves above my word?" God says, "Hey man, I see it all. You think sin is going to be unchecked?" "Oh no," God says, "uh-uh." And you know what happens? Boy, God drops a bombshell on him. Look at verse 6. He says, "You know what, Habakkuk? For indeed, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breast of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They're terrible. They're dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves." In other words, they are a law unto themselves. They have absolutely no equal, these Babylonians, this army. "Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than evening wolves, and their chargers charge ahead, and their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as an eagle that hastens to eat. They're a hungry, hungry bunch." You know what God just told Habakkuk? He said, "Habakkuk, here's the deal. I'm getting ready to work. You're going to be astonished, because I'm going to bring your enemy into your land. I'm going to allow the Babylonians, these people are fierce, they have no equals, and I'm going to allow them to come in and discipline this nation." That is a frightening, horrible thought. Now, will you say, "Bill, is that going to happen?" I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about Habakkuk right now. But I'm saying that God knows what he's doing. And I tell you, Habakkuk was shocked over this. Drop down now to verse 12. Habakkuk talks to the Lord. He says, "Oh, Are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One. In other words, you're eternal, O Lord. We shall not die, right? I mean, we shall not die. O Lord, you've appointed them for judgment. Babylon, this army, my enemies, you've appointed them for judgment. O rock, you've marked them out for correction. And what is he saying? He's saying, God, listen to me. We're your people. We're your people, Lord. We're the people of your pasture. We're the people that have your covenant. We're the people that have your promises. Oh God, why would you do this? Why would you allow a godless, idol-worshipping, much more sinful nation than we are to come into our land and destroy and ravage our buildings? Why would you let 9/11 happen? Why would you allow something like this in our land? The land that says that we are all Christians. No, listen. Why would he say that? You know something? That's exactly what I hear from pastors, well-meaning pastors that I respect. And I'm not in any way belittling what they say. But I happen to disagree with them. I've heard it so many times. God will never judge America. I would say, why? Why would you say that God would never judge America? Because this is America. We're founded, our forefathers, we found this nation on the Word of God. Yeah, and we're finding anything on the Word of God anymore. No, we've drifted from God. We're living in the illusion. You don't understand though, Bill. Now listen to me. America has sent out more missionaries, built more orphanages, built more hospitals, given more aid than any nation in the history of mankind. Yes. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. So God says, well, you know what? I'll let you go this time. I'll let it all slide. You know what? That's exactly what Judah was thinking. God, we're your people. Surely not. Surely there's not going to be judgment. I mean, here we are in the land. Maybe those heathen over there, you know, but not us. Well, you know what? What they've done affects us. Do you understand? So look what happens. I want you to go to chapter 3 now. Go to chapter 3 as I turn there with you. Now, in chapter 3, let me set this up for you. Here is Habakkuk the prophet. He's gone through and questioned God and so forth and asked God about things. And now the enemy is there. They're literally surrounded. There is no way for Judah to escape. It's over with. The Babylonians, they're coming. And there Habakkuk is looking. And just like us right now, we're shut up to prayer. That's all that's left for Habakkuk. He says, all I know to do now is to pray and live by faith. Look what he says there in chapter 3. Go down to verse 16. He says, when I heard, meaning when God told him that judgment was coming to Judah in the form of the chastisement from the Babylonians. He says, when I heard, oh God, that judgment, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, and rottenness entered my bones. See, he collapsed. He can't stand to his feet. He's so overwhelmed. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in faith in the day of trouble, this judgment that was coming. And when he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. In other words, the Babylonians, they're coming. The reality that Habakkuk faced is in a sense a reality that we too are facing. You say, Bill, what are we going to do? You know, here's what I believe. I believe, like I said earlier, that God knew this day was coming. Of course he did. And he knew that this is the generation of believers that were going to be born or be there during this event on Friday. And I believe that the Church of the Living God, this generation of Christians, we are the people that were born for such a time as this. And that there must be a return to the Lord, a rally like never before. And that's what I'm, you see, for us to just say, okay, and accept this and not really do what we're called to do, to be the salt, to be the light, to be the soul winners and so forth, then we are living in illusion and we certainly are not going to stop the destruction that's coming to this nation. But if the churches in America would wake up, maybe God would use us again. Amen. And that's what needs to happen. I believe we're the answer to this generation. Now look at verse 17. Look what he does. He says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive tree may fail, and the fields yield no food, and though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, everything that I've always known, everything that has sustained me in this life, I guess now it's going to fail. It's going to fail. And though my way of life, the life that I love and the life that I cherish, the nation that I love, the old America that men and women paid with their lives for, you know, though I see it perish before my very eyes, though I see everything falling apart, this nation going into darkness, the just shall always live by faith. Amen. Because God is the answer. And look what he says in the midst of this with the enemy at hand. He says in verse 18, yet I will rejoice. Not in what happened on Dark Friday. He's not rejoicing because the Babylonian army is going to destroy everything. No. He's rejoicing in what? In whom? The Lord. I'm going to rejoice in you, Lord. Yes, I see what's happened, but no one's going to take away my joy in celebrating and honoring you. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, not my circumstances, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Listen, don't let Dark Friday steal your joy. Amen. Listen. We are a people that know the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you or set you free. We're to be a people that are rejoicing. You know what? Something happens when they see that. You think that we're falling down. You think that we're defeated. No, no, no. We do what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. In everything give thanks. We're not giving thanks for it. But in this thing that has happened, Lord, we give thanks unto you because we know that you're going to be working. We know that you're going to pull something off. He says in verse 19, oh, the Lord is my strength. Is the Lord your strength this morning? If not, you're going to be in trouble because our strength is not enough. He says, the Lord is my strength. And he, meaning God, look what he's going to do. He is a confession of faith. He will make my feet like deer's feet. Don't you love that? Like deer's feet. Hello. You can't outrun me. You can't catch me. And if you get too close, I'll just kick you. You know, he'll make me like deer's feet. And look at this here. I love this. And he will make me. He will make me. God says, I'm going to make you. He will make me what? Walk on my high hills. Not high heels. High hills. You understand? That's what God says. He says, you're going to tower above it all. You're going to tower above it all. Why? Because you trust me. You don't trust the darkness that's happening. You walk through the darkness. You walk through the circumstances. You are the people of God. He says, oh, in verse 18, he says, I will. Verse 19, God will. I love that. What does that mean? God will never fail us. He will never fail us. Because the just shall live by faith. We are not in the dark. We know what's coming. We know that people are going to be deceived more and more in deceiving themselves. They're going to grow wicked and more wicked. Listen, we shall overcome. No, we have overcome. Why? Because we stand in our Savior Jesus Christ, and he stands in us, his church. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:37, it says, and yet in all these things, if you read it, you'll know what I'm talking about. Naked, peril, the sword, famine, whatever it might be. In all these things, Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. We are more right this moment. Listen, the Supreme Court, the highest court in our land, did not overcome the church and did not defeat the church. You know, I'll tell you something. I have a word. I have a word for America. I have a word for Supreme Court. I have a word for you this morning. Paul the Apostle, someone who I dearly love in Scripture, who has taught me by his example so many things. I look at him and there he is. Remember, there he is at the end of his life. And he is in the Mamertine prison. He's waiting execution. And that prison that they cast him into was nothing more there in Rome, was nothing more than a hole in the ground that they lowered him down into. And he was chained. And there in that dungeon, in that prison, and the only time he could see the light of day is it was probably around the noon hour, because the hole where he was at, it would come over and there was light that would be cast down in there. And it was there that he penned his last letter. I don't know how he did it. Maybe he had a candle down there. Chained, waiting to die, penniless. Everyone had deserted him. There was no one left. And he took a pen, or whatever he wrote with, and he took a piece of paper or some type of parchment. And again, I don't know if he had a candle, or did he wait for the sun to come over to bring light down into that hell he was in. And you know what he penned? In this last letter, it says in 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said this at the end of his life, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Oh, I tell you, isn't that great? I am not ashamed. He said, "For I know whom," not what, "I know whom I have believed." I know who he is. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that he's alive. I believed, and not only that, I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him unto that day. I have a word for all of America, that we are the church unashamed. Amen. We are going to stand for what is right. We're going to stand for the truth. We will never, ever back down. You say, "Well, they may kill you." Well, we don't fear death. Jesus tasted death for all of us. We don't fear even the penalties of our sin. Why? He died and took our sins and he paid our debt. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And if we do blow it, if we do get in trouble, we can run to God and he will cleanse us from all sin. Amen? No, that's who we are. We're the church unashamed. We're not ashamed to say Jesus is our Lord. We're not ashamed at all to say his word is true. We're not ashamed at all. We don't even fear hell, because Jesus defeated hell and death and the grave for us. Amen. You know, here's the deal. We are in the midst of a summer series. And this church, we are leaving and stepping out of illusion. What is false? And we're stepping into the true realities of the Christian life. A people, a culture, a nation, a church that cannot distinguish between reality, what is real, and illusion, what is false, is not going to make it. Is not going to make it at all. I believe that God is going to raise this generation up in a mighty way. I believe that we're going to see the Holy Spirit of God move upon us again in the churches in America, the true Bible-believing churches in America. Listen, you say, "Bill, we're a minority." The minority wins. Amen. Okay, we win. We've already won. I don't care. If there's one Christian left on this earth, we win. Okay? He wins. We've already won. And I tell you, we need signs and wonders in the church again. We need the fear of God to sweep America again, like when Charles Finney would walk into, "I know it's time to go, but no, it's not. I have 10 minutes. My watch broke today, and they put it up there for me. I don't know why I told you that." Now, and listen, I believe that God is going to start moving in his church again. Just like when Charles Finney, remember during the revival years, when he would walk into a company, a business, people would start weeping openly. Just weeping. Because the power of God was upon him. or when Jonathan Edwards, a man who, when the revival, the Great Awakening, we call it now, when it occurred in his church, Jonathan Edwards, he was reading a sermon that he didn't preach. He didn't talk and look. He just bent down in a monotone voice and read his sermon. That's how he did it. And there he was reading a sermon he'd prepare, sinners in the hands of an angry God. When he looked up, every person in the congregation was shaking with fear. People were crawling underneath the pews. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God was manifesting his presence. That, I believe, is going to happen again. And we're going to all get right again. We're going to get right with God again. We're going to see God restore things in our lives so we can go out and restore things in the lives of this nation. Amen. I believe that is what's going to happen. And do we ever need it? We need the miraculous deeply in the church again, where people like in Peter, when Peter would just walk by, remember what they did? They would bring cots and people that were sick, full of diseases, and there they were, just and people had devils or demons or whatever you want to call it. And when his shadow went by, what happened? They were healed. Can you believe that? Now that was a reality of the early church, and that needs to come back to this church. Demons would leave. I'm expecting God to do great things. But Bill, you didn't answer the question. Is judgment going to come? I don't know. If it does, God pity this nation. You hear me? Father, we thank you for this day. Today, this church, these people, from the pulpit on down, we repent of our sins. We repent of not being a people of prayer. We repent, oh God, of not serving, giving, supporting the kingdom efforts. We repent of not discovering our gift that you have given unto us. We repent that we're not soul winners. We repent that we have been living in the comfortable culture of illusion of our nation. And Lord, I know indirectly and directly that the reason all these things have happened in our nation is because the weakness of the church. The church not doing its job, its calling, its purpose, your plan. Therefore, we repent. If we've sinned by word, deed, thought, or action, grieved, quenched, vexed the Holy Spirit of God in any way, today we turn away from anything and everything that would limit us, stop us, hindering us from fulfilling your plan and purpose in our lives. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit. Revive us. That's what Habakkuk prayed, oh Father. He said, revive us in the midst of our years. Visit us again. Give us another chance with your grace, with your power, with your love, with your purpose. Let your church truly be the church again in this nation. I ask you, Father, to forgive America, to forgive the Supreme Court justices, to forgive our president, to forgive what's happening, oh God, and shine your light and shine your grace once again on this nation. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.